everything's working okay.
We'll look at it first.
No, that's okay. No, I want you to tell me while you're looking at it where the old buildings were. Just
tell you.
Why don't you sit over there? I'll take this chair.
You can sit here too.
But don't ask me any questions because I don't hear well enough to answer.
See, there, from the corner of the barn here, that is, oh no, a little further back here, like this, over here. There was another that was the old barn.
Oh, why don't you draw that in just a little bit with a pencil, approximately where it was?
Just about.
It's kind of
like this, and like this.
Then that would be almost directly north of the barn now.
Oh, yes, north of the barn here. But that ain't recorded, is it?
Sure is.
Oh, you can shut it off.
No,
though.
That's all right. I want to get that. I want to get it down so we don't
then
forget anything.
Then there was another barn.
Over here.
Over, say, like over here.
You had all those barns at one time?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was before they built the new one.
Like over here. And then there was the granary. The granary was, let's see, over here.
Hmm. Was the granary. Do you remember when those were torn down?
Hmm?
When were those torn down?
We tore that down.
When we tore that down,
when we built this here.
Wasn't the granary over there?
Well, yes, over,
and then,
over
and
here.
And then they moved it over there?
And then they moved, it was here at first, but then they moved it, over here. Then we tore this one down, and I built this one then.
So myself, it was moved to the spot where the granary
But it was
is.
Over here at first.
Then where was the brickyard then?
Huh?
Where was the brickyard then?
Brickyard? The brickyard was, let's see, not quite that far.
Oh, closer to the road. Yes.
It was pretty close to, let's say, about like that, maybe. These were pits. They took the clay out of those ponds there, and those two other ponds, there were two other ponds there, they took the clay out of there, and they put that in those boxes there. They were boxes about so deep.
About 4 feet off the ground?
Yes, about 4 feet out of the ground. They'd fill that with
sand.
With clay. And they had, from the pond over here and over here and over here, they had a little track. They had a track that it was a wooden track, but with a plate, you see, a metal plate on top. And so they had something like a little trolley, you see, to haul the ground from in here, you see. But I don't know if they hauled it with horses or not, but it was like on a cart, you see. And I don't know if they shoveled it in over here then or what they did, because a cart like that, you can't really tip it because it was on the low side. There was a track all along, a track, you know, all along here and running down here. But I remember this track, part of the track was still in when we were kids here. And then all of this, all of this here was the brickyard. It was sheds, more like those mink farms have, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And
just a roof, I guess, wasn't it?
Well, it was a roof, but then shelves.
Yeah.
And those molds were something about so wide, and about the width of the table, not quite as long as this. And they used to, must have been some kind of a mixer, sand and clay mixed together, and those men, they had to be strong, you see. They had to take that that mold and dip it in there, and then, you know, jerk it to settle the you might say the mud, you see. It wasn't exactly mud, it was more like a paste, to settle it well in the corners, and then they racked it off, and that was the underside of the brick. And the brick on the inside of the mold, there was that little groove, you see, that you see in, on a brick there, you know, for anchor, you see, on the top of the brick. But you see, the brick was made upside down, so they'd rack it off then, and then they'd take it and turn it over on a platform, a little, it was wood lats, spaced about so far apart, and about so long, yes, about so wide.
About 3 by 1.
And there were three cross strips. And they turned the brick over on that, and then they were taken and put in those racks.
To dry.
To dry.
Or to cook. They had
they had to dry first, then they'd harden, you see. Then they stacked them up just like you'd say. It was, I'd say at least 20 feet high, if I remember right. And there were openings shaped like this.
Like a pyramid.
Every now and then, that was to, they made fire in there, and they burned wood. But the last years, they tried coal. But I don't know if it worked or not. But they did use coal in the latter years. But they had plenty of wood. They had 20 acres of hardwood, mile north of Champion there. So they had plenty of hardwood. It was good highland wood, so that was hard. It was good wood for burning, for firing brick. And they used to fire that day and night for a certain period of time. I don't know how long. The bricks that were closest to the fire were hard brick. Those further away, they were bricks too, but they were the soft brick. And then some, I suppose, in between too, you see. But those that were, and then sometimes, you know, they had some too that were firing the bricks. Well, they had men for that. But towards the end then, they had one that, Champion wasn't so far away, and he was a drunkard. So he'd fire up good, and he'd run to Champion, have a few drinks, and then come back. Mm-hmm. Then the fires were died down, and the bricks were, some of the bricks melted. Mm. They'd get all out of shape, but that was a loss then, so.
Didn't keep your mind for too long. Did your family hire men then?
Oh yes, they had to hire. I don't remember how many.
Well, Ma used to say that long table. Well, that would seat about eight or ten, huh?
Yes, they had to have eight or ten men.
And that was five meals a day.
Five meals a day.
They used to sleep here.
Yeah, morning and lunch at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, 9:30, something like that. And then dinner, lunch, and supper. And five meals a day, yes.
Well, I had beer at every meal. Huh?
Beer at every meal. In spring, then it was green onions.
And cottage cheese and beer.
Green onions, cottage cheese, and beer. That was the regular spring meal, yes.
For breakfast was pancakes. I know she used to say
pancakes, maybe so.
Did you eat in here then? Here in the kitchen? Or? Is this where you served all those people right here?
Oh, yes. It was in this room.
They used to sleep upstairs?
This part of the house was built in 1872.
The other one, 1867. Huh?
Well, the other side, yes, but this, when they first got here, they settled in this corner here, see? That's where the butternut tree was there.
Northwest corner.
Northwest corner here. But then The old grandma went around, you know, and saw that there was a spot over here.
It was a sand
over hill. Here it was a sand hill. This here was a sandy hill. Hmm. And she wanted the spot there away from the road, you see. So they built the house here then. And these buildings here were put here. And then she was doing the planning, you know. Her husband must have died soon after they got here. And they were going to have some more buildings here. And then a gate across, more like a barn door, you see, like those barn doors, across here.
Across the driveway.
Across the driveway. That was the way it was in Europe, you see. Mm-hmm. In Europe, on the estates, they closed the barn doors there, and it was as if to keep your, privacy. People that go by, you don't have to bother with us, you know, or something on that order. She was a woman. Her folks had supported Napoleon during that, must have been the last war that he had, that war at Waterloo. And they had the contract to feed the army. Now, I don't know if it was the army or part of the army, but Napoleon lost. And they lost, well, their assets. They had everything. In those days, if you could have a contract to support the army or to help the ones that were waging the war, then you shared in the booty, you might say. I mean, there was, maybe you're more educated in all those things than I am. Maybe I just go by what, they were supposed to get well paid if he won, but he lost. So they lost, and their money was in the Bank of Venice, eh? Remember that? The Bank of Venice. But the Bank of Venice don't mean that it was in Venice. You go in Europe, in those big, like in Brussels, you have the Bank of Hong Kong, you have the Bank of China, you have the Bank of South Africa, and so on. All, like you say, from here to the road square there, you know, well, not quite as far as from here to the main road there, but there's a big square there, I'd say 3-4 blocks square. But it's all different banks there, of all different countries, even the Bank of England and so on. It seems as though there's... Mm-hmm. So there was the Bank of Venice.
Well, that's the way Grandma used to say it. She didn't... That's what had been told to her, too, I suppose.
Well, yes, that's what Grandma told us. But it was the Bank of Venice that was supposed to pay the money to them, I mean, for what they were doing, but everything went broke, you see, so they lost their money. So she was a little bit bitter with Europe. She had five brothers, and she was the only girl, but she was going to go to America and be buried in America. She wasn't going to stay in Europe. So that's how she came here, see.
Now, what, she came in the 1850s?
1855, 56.
I got it written home when Grandma also left. When Grandma also left, but this was...
Oh, yes, when Grandma left. Well, Grandma Osler, I mean our grandmother here, was born in 1847. But she was 7 years old when she left Europe, 1847. But she was 7 years old when she left Europe, so she must have got here in 1855. Grandpa Oslas was born in 1839, and he was 16 years old when he left, 17 years old when he left Europe. But so that might have been a year later that he came. But that would be about 56. Mm-hmm. So he might have come a year later.
Do you know where the buildings were first in this area?
What no, buildings? I don't remember the buildings, but I remember there was a butternut tree standing in the corner here, and that was close enough to the house that they could reach out and almost like pick the nuts off the tree. You know, it was the nuts were close.
There was an asparagus bed there too.
Asparagus and hops.
hops that.
And hops all along the fence.
Try to sketch some of that in, like a house in the
back. Well, the hops were along the road.
The hops were along the road here, on, growing on the fence. But you see, you had to have hops to have beer. So, and somewhere in here, you see, was the old place. But.
And they used to make beer every 3 weeks, just as
2 weeks.
Rain.
2 weeks.
3 weeks.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that, yeah.
Because the day Grandpa died there, he says the potatoes are rotting, but we got to make beer first. And then we're going to get at the potatoes. And Mom says it was just as regular 3 weeks.
Did the hops have to be planted each year? Or
no, that grew 1 year after the other, you see. That was... But not too long ago, there was some growing around here. Yet.
Yes,
they keep on growing.
And the asparagus, too.
Asparagus, too, is the same thing, too.
Yeah, we got a couple little plants out here.
Well, I planted those.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
there was a nice bed there for a while.
The asparagus bed used to be under the old...
Yeah, well, there was one in back of the house. There was one on the side of the house. They were great for
asparagus. Yeah, there used to be asparagus beds around here, I guess. And they moved the granary, where they made the granary there, they made it over the asparagus bed.
Yeah.
So they had to change the asparagus.
The asparagus bed was here before?
The granary was over here, and then it was moved over here.
But that was
about
before
the time,
my time.
About the time Pa died, I guess. Eh?
Pa died. Oh, well,
just
yeah.
a year or two before Pa died, and he died in
1907. I was born after my father died, see, so I don't remember that.
So the... It was moved over here, but then it was moved just before he died, so there never was a foundation on. There was just those timbers, you know, cross timbers under the building, and then they gradually rotted away. So the building gave way, you know. It wasn't firm enough anymore, so we took the thing down. I made a foundation there, and I put this one up. But we used the planks that are the 2-inch planks, you notice, that are around the granary. Those are from the old granary here, you see. They were here, and they were moved 70 years ago, about. About 70 years ago, they were moved to here. So how long did they stay here? I don't know. And those planks are darn good yet, eh?
Oh, that's the best building we have. It's excellent.
Yeah, those 2-inch planks, and I bet you they'd last another 200 years, eh?
Yeah. Well, we'll go out afterwards and look at
it. That's white pine, you see, virgin white pine, you see. They could take the best. And they're very, they're worn out very, I mean, weathered very, very little.
Everyone who's come out here to... visit us has commented on what good shape that building is in, the greenery.
Yeah, well, I...
But those beams in the basement there, how wide that is and how thick.
Here, the house, you mean? Or
in
or
that part.
Yes. Part. Well, when I started to work in Green Bay, I was doing carpenter work, and I don't know, I was green at it, you know. I asked, well, how wide do you want us... We're building a house, and I asked, how wide do you want to space the joists apart? How wide do you want them apart? Well, he says, how wide do you space joists apart? He says, how wide are the joists spaced in your house? He says, oh, I don't know. He says, I think they're between 3 and 4 feet apart. What kind of a shack do you live in? He says. Well, I said, pretty solid, I said. It's been there, I don't know, 60, 70 years or something like that. And it's still standing? He said, yes, I said. And I bet you could fill it with tractors today and it would hold up. How thick are the joists then? Oh, it says about 8 or 10 inches. And you mean they're 3-4 feet apart? Well, yes, I said they're about 1 foot to 18 inches face, I says, and white oak. Oh, it was different. White oak, well, that had never been. Some of them were white oak, and some were, I don't know, something else, I guess.
But those joists were put up in 1866, yeah.
Yeah, 18, well, no, a little later, because 56, yes.
It was
about 10 years later, the family was getting a little bigger. Mm-hmm. They wanted a bigger house, and they wanted to make a permanent place, you know, rather than that, I suppose, temporary over there. So they built here then, yeah.
Was this a log house near the road then?
I never saw it, and they never mentioned what it was.
But most of those first houses must have been log.
Yes, they had log.
They didn't have the planing mills or anything to make boards. Well,
no. No, they didn't have any
accommodations
for lumber. They'd hew them, you see, just with a broad axe. They, you know, square, cut it off on one side and the other side, make it say 8 inches thick or 10 inches, whatever they wanted to. Then they'd use them in the house like that. And they'd notch the corners too, you know, to.
And they'd plaster in between.
And then they'd split pieces of wood about. Well, they'd make a log, and they'd have to take a log, and they split. They'd cut them about so long, then they'd split them. They split that up, and you see
chuck that in there.
A piece, you know, a piece like this, you know, or maybe a little bit less. They'd slip that in between the logs with a plaster, and so on, you know,
and lime and sand.
Lime and sand, and they'd chuck that full, you see. So it closed the holes, you see. Yes.
They had plenty of wood at that time.
Plenty of wood.
To fire up, you know, so they kept the heat in the house.
And somewhere or another they had lime from, well, they burned, this is all on limestone here. Mm. This is a limestone ledge from Sturgeon Bay to Bay Settlement there. That's all limestone ledge, so anywhere they'd take...
Well, didn't they make that from ashes too?
They had a lime.
That
was for making soap. They use ashes, yeah. But lime was from burned limestone. You get lime, but I suppose somebody was burning lime around. Those are earlier people. They all had some ways or some means or some trade or something they could do a little better than others. Well, then they'd do that. Now, like. DuPont here, the next where Donald Pigeon is living, that was DuPont. They had a sawmill, they had a stallion there, they had a store, they did photography, they had a photography room upstairs over the store. They had, they were running a farm too.
An
apple orchard. He was assemblyman for a time. He was a town chairman for a good many years. And maybe some other things too.
Well, probably. It could be everything.
Yeah.
Anything and everything.
Anything and everything. There it was, Bruner. We buried Mike Bruner's boy today, where I was at the funeral this morning, and over there was Desire Lamar. He'd play the fiddle. He could play the fiddle. And
had a thrashing machine.
And a thrashing machine, you see. And one day one evening he was over here by this neighborhood. They had a radio, and the first radios came out, and they were fiddling around, you know, getting music here and getting music there. All of a sudden, wait a minute, he said, hold it there, he said. Well, then, that's Baston's playing at the Aragon in Chicago. That was Baston's music. It was on the radio there. And sure enough, says Mrs., when they announced it, it was Baston from New Franken, you know. The boys were pretty good musicians. And they were playing at the Aragon in Chicago.
Yeah, boy, I've been there.
Oh, yeah, you were? That's a ritzy place, eh?
Well, yeah, not anymore, but it used
to be.
I can see where it used to be, yes.
It used to be, yes. I mean, yes, let's see. 30, 40 years ago, you know.
Oh yes, that's all.
Yeah, longer than that maybe, but they were good musicians, and they were playing at the Aragon in Chicago, and they were broadcasting, and Zier Lamar picked that up, you know. So he had a ear for music, and their next door neighbor there was back here was Van Dries. You know, Van Dries Motors there. That's where the boys were born.
And we met Van Dries.
Fred.
I think so, at the coin shower last week.
Yeah, that was Fred. Yeah. Fred and his wife. Yes, they were there, Fred. Yeah. That was Fred.
Oh, yes, Fred and Reed. That's the one that was running the farm here.
And they said they just sold last spring to Deschamp.
And that the same one that bought the farm across the way there.
He said there's same family.
Two brothers. Yeah. But the other one's driving a truck, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. The other one's driving a truck and running between here and New York, I guess, and all over, you see.
Yeah, that's the one lives over here.
So, yes, he's the one that'll get it eventually, but I don't know if it's the one from over here that's running it. I don't know.
And then there was another brother that came to our place further down there. He wanted to buy ours then. And I said to him, for goodness sakes, you three boys, I says, you have all the education a person needs, I says, and you have good jobs and everything, and then you forsake all that to come on an old farm, I says. Mm-hmm. Well, he says, I've never been so happy as what I am to come on a farm.
Yeah. Mr. Aslos, could you draw in the ponds over here and the runway to the tanks?
Well,
just approximately where they are.
This was a double track here.
Okay, could you draw
and
that
it turned,
in there?
It turned here. And there was, well, you might say the pond, well, there was a track alongside here running as far as this here. And that big cottonwood tree was dug out from the corner of this here one.
The poplar tree?
The cottonwood here. Remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Ma went and got it. I don't know if she carried it home or on a wheelbarrow.
Well, I carried it. It was only this big. But we dug it out of a corner. No, it could have been on this side. Oh, it don't make any difference anyway, but it was in this middle one here anyway. And we dug it up and planted it over here, and I think it grew pretty well.
You know that we had a terrible wind here about 20 years ago on the 15th of August there, and that big tree was bent down that the tip was way over there. The wind was so strong, and the roof came off the shed.
Yeah,
and the shed I never saw that tree. You never think that it could go down like that, and it didn't break, but it bent that wind.
But then one winter we had a sleet storm, a heavy sleet storm. And every now and then during the night, some of those branches would break off, you know, and pound down. It was just like you'd drop a great big piece of plate glass this big, you know, on the floor right now, you see, on concrete or brick or something like that. It would rattle, you know, and every now and then one was breaking there.
That I don't remember so much, but gee, that windstorm.
Well, it sounded, you know, well... It was enough to scare you, but it was that those pieces of those long branches and all ice, you know, falling from that height on ice, on sleet, you know. So it was just like glass on glass, you see. Mm. And the pond, well, you can see it there. It runs.
There were three ponds.
But there were three of them, huh?
Yeah. Well, let's say one here. One was over, well, it wasn't, this ain't altogether to scale either, so
yeah.
One was over here, and one was over here, then, eh? One, two, there was, that creek running through here between the two.
Oh, there was a creek.
Well, not a creek, but you see the drainage from the road there, you see. Mm-hmm. There's something coming from the road here, coming down in here. And